that Latinx histories are critical, central, and pivotal to the U.S. story.
Kelly Lytle Hernandez, we want to thank you so much for being with us, author of the new book, out today, Bad Mexicans, Race, Empire, and Revolution in the Borderlands. She is professor of history, African-American studies, and urban planning at UCLA. And I really look forward to talking to Juan when his book is republished and updated, Harvest of Empire. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
When I first came to Brookhaven town,
way, hey, 90.1,
there was no good music to be heard around.
Way, hey, 90.1,
then one day I turned on the dial.
Way, hey, 90.1,
there I found music to make me smile.
Way, hey, 90.1,
I waited for a legal ID.
Way, hey, 90.1,
the DJ said WUSB.
Way, hey, 90.1,
they start each day with the rising sun.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear,
way, hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way, hey, 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, hey, hey.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM, also broadcasting on 107.3 W297 BM. It is approaching, and now just after the 6 o'clock hour, time, once again, for Off the Wall.
Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Over here?
Yeah, and how about that intro, folks? Did you hear Kyle give the intro to the show before? You know, we've gotten three emails so far of people saying, first of all, what's up? Thank God you got rid of Emmanuel. No such luck. But complimenting you on your poise.
Really?
That was in two of the emails, the word poise, and just professionalism of introducing the radio program on the top of the hour.
Thank you.
And I have to point out that this was something that Kyle did not prepare for. It was thrust upon him by complete surprise with about 5 seconds notice. That is the sign of a true professional. When you can take an emergency situation and make it so that people aren't even aware of the tremendous tension and stress that you have to go through in order to carry it out.
Well, I absolutely was responding at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. Maybe wasn't a physical, but it was certainly a mental leap into action.
Yeah, and you served the station well, and you came through when it mattered. And I think it's our 45th anniversary of WUSB. I think that special ceremony.
I couldn't.
Just for you, because of you stepping in when it mattered the most. You gave a legal ID, not for one, but both frequencies.
Oh, no.
You introduced the radio program.
You're too much.
And you allowed me time to figure out just where I put the intro so that I could actually start playing it. And the people didn't even know what was happening.
Is that what was going on?
That was what was happening, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was really, really, really caught off guard.
Somehow none of my cussing made it onto the air, too, so that was good as well.
We're all good.
Well, you're listening to Off the Wall, and you're probably listening to us online because we're not really on the air. Well, we're on the air on 107.3, which is a little tiny part of the Stony Brook area. But we're also on 90.1 FM, but boy, it's a weak-ass signal. But the good news is that this will be getting better within a couple of weeks as we get a temporary transmitter. Yeah, just a temporary transmitter. Because of supply chain issues, looks like we're going to be sometime in the summer for the full power one. But wheels are turning. That's the important thing. And the wheels are turning in no small part thanks to our listeners and other supporters who are out there pledging whatever they can and just helping the station. If you want to be a part of that, go to WUSB.FM. You know, our website was down before, too. Boy, it's the perfect storm. But I think it's back up now. But you can go to WUSB.FM and there's a pledge section there. And please just, you know, give us the $60,000 we need to finish all this and everybody will be happy.
I was paying attention to something else and I think I remember I was half listening. I heard you say that
mm-hmm.
and I was startled.
Yeah. Wait, what did I say?
That the website was having difficulty.
Oh yes, yeah. I was. You heard that, huh? I was speaking to the gods. Actually, you might have overheard me beseeching them, saying, "What is it that we have done to anger you? We've lost our transmitter. We have conservative right wing zealots taking over 107.3 from Connecticut, and now the website."
Overpowering, yeah.
I offered to sacrifice whatever it was that, and I'm waiting to hear back. I haven't gotten a reply yet, but if you know, called upon, whatever the gods see fit. Obviously, we've angered them, and we want to make it right. You know, what is it? T-shirts, coffee mugs. We can fix this. Anyway, here we are on our once weekly hour where we get to try and figure out just what the hell's going on around us.
With you.
Yeah, and with you and with our listeners. Of course, you can always write to us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. Basically, there's a lot going on in the world, that's for sure. Where do you want to start? Pick a subject. I have a whole pile of things here.
Anything about Disneyland?
Disneyland? That's what you
get that out of the way.
Gosh, I don't know about Disneyland.
There's crazy things in the Magic Kingdom, I hear.
Well, there are crazy things in the Magic Kingdom. But can I just say one thing, though, before we get started with the actual program?
Let's not talk about that.
We're talking about WUSB. We're talking about this amazing place where you just hear all sorts of different sounds. I've been on sort of a radio journey over the past week. Where, and you can do this. You can do this on the various online systems like TuneIn. And what's that other one? There's different ones.
Well, I guess it's a radio station listening.
Yeah, there's different
application.
Ones, but we can't think of another one. But TuneIn is one of them. Anyway,
I don't want to plug any
I'm trying to unplug TuneIn because I keep saying TuneIn. I like to say something else just to show that I'm not plugging TuneIn. Do we know the name of a single other one?
I guess Apple Music. That's got to be.
Ew,
you got to get that out of the way.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever.
Or I guess, well, you can use various players like VLC works if you.
Oh, yeah, that's the player.
You can stream.
You can use Winamp. You can use.
Yeah, lots of times you can find the streaming address and just set it up with whatever
you
choose.
But, you know, mostly you don't have to worry about it. You just say, Alexa, play WUSB, and she'll do it.
Magic.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe you've named it Echo, or maybe you've named it Computer, or maybe you've named it Amazon. I think those are the only four names you can use on that device. Of course, Google has its own thing, and
yeah,
you can command them to play whatever radio station you want.
Yeah, Google has some kind of music thing, and then there's Amazon. They have some kind of music
thing. That's what the Kindle, not the Kindle, the Alexa thing.
Everybody's got music.
Yeah, well, the point is, you can listen to radio stations, and you can listen to radio stations all around the world. And what I've been doing recently, I've been exploring the BBC, because you can listen to these all around the world. BBC One is basically, they play a lot of dance music in the weekends, things that we don't play here in this country. A lot of drum and bass, there's rap, there's all kinds of cool stuff. BBC Two is kind of more the mainstream station, but they have a wide variety of music. Literally, if you look at their description, it's a lot like WUSB. It really is. They play all different kinds of music. They have talk programs and things like that. Radio 3 is a classical station for the most part, but they venture outside those boundaries too. Radio 4, I'm listening to today, actually, and they're kind of different. They have radio soap operas and all kinds of conversations and things like that. And I realize what is the mainstream over in England, what everybody listens to. These are nationwide networks. It's what we at WUSB always try to do. It's not appreciated nearly as much in our country, but over there, that is how it works. And there's never a commercial, just like on WUSB, there's never a commercial. But because everybody in the United Kingdom has to pay a licensing fee, it's about £200 a year, which I guess is around $250. Because of that, they get all this radio without commercials. They get all this television without commercials. They have seven symphonies. The BBC has seven different symphonies and all sorts of other things, too. It's just really amazing what you can do when you make something a priority. But what I really, really like is the fact that they appreciate radio. They appreciate radio as much as we do. So, you know, sometimes we feel like we're all alone in what we do and that nobody really cares. It's not true. It's not true because a good part of the world actually embraces the kind of radio that that we do, whereas every other frequency around us, no, not so much. It's all got commercials. It's all either religion or it's owned by one company, and independent voices are lost. And WUSB is that rare gem in this particular radio market that is sought after in many other parts of the world.
I was just struck with the thought of iPlayer and also iHeartRadio. That's another one of those.
That was the one I was trying to think of.
That's,
yeah.
It's like, I guess, a backup or a default or pre-installed.
Don't know. Don't care.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
But the other station also, I remember a while ago us talking about a website where you could kind of see the globe.
Yeah.
And it was radio.globe or global.radio or something.
Boy, we should research these things before we go on.
We've talked about it. I'm sure someone can search. Maybe you. I don't have a machine. I'm monitoring. I'm driving the ship here in our remote virtual space. So the site that is most similar to like TuneIn's ability to browse by location is that kind of a site where you basically had a sphere or the planet represented as like a 3D globe or a map, and you could just spin it and go all over and end up on the local broadcast of a station. There's other really cool sites that have done basically like repeaters or virtual repeaters with software-defined radio, and people that have antennas places, you can catch a stream of what's in the air where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this temporary transmitter you talked about, though, that we're getting and working on with the station. And, you know, it's all about all those different options. That's how the streaming, even with being under construction or transitioning and changing things around here, people could still find us through these kinds of global sites or sites that kind of repeat or rebroadcast.
Yeah. And if you want to help us out in any way, repeating or rebroadcasting whatever we do, you're welcome to do it. Absolutely. And hopefully we'll keep building things back better. Wow. I used that phrase. Huh?
That global site was more shortwave, I think, oriented. And it also can find a local low power, I think, stations.
Well, what I like is that there's an ability to listen to local radio in other parts of the world. That is something that is really, really important. And too many times we're discouraged, even forbidden, from listening to things from out of market. For instance, try watching a television station from a different city. Shouldn't be that big a deal, but they don't want you to do it. They keep you from doing it, and they will block you if you try to do it.
The browsing function on TuneIn is, I think, hard to maintain, because sometimes you catch one you wanted to check out, and then it just doesn't work.
But that's radio. I'm talking about television now, because the television is different. Oh. And you know, if you try to watch something from a different country, it's not allowed. In fact, if you go to Amazon, there are TV programs in the United Kingdom, and they're great programs. In fact, you know, we were trying to share one with somebody the other day called This Country. There's a show on Fox called Welcome to Flatch, which is based on This Country. We saw This Country a few years ago. It's doing a fairly good job. It's gotten better, but This Country is the crown jewel. But if you want to share it with somebody, we have it on DVD. But it's a different region. You have to have a region-free DVD player. If you just have a regular American DVD player, it's not going to work. They'll forbid you from watching it because it's not in your zone. So how do you watch it? You can't. It's in your language. It's something you might really appreciate, but you have to wait for somebody in this country to say, you know what, we're going to broadcast it on this channel, probably put all kinds of bugs and commercials and ruin the whole thing, but that's the only way we're going to let you see it. So if you find something, you've got to go through all kinds of hoops to get it to be playable in your region. It's so wrong. It's so wrong in so many ways. It doesn't even have commercials, so that's not what the concern is. And I don't see anything wrong with seeing commercials from different markets. I think that's kind of cool, actually. All sorts of out-of-market commercials I could talk about. But the level of control, it's offensive. And if it was true of anything else, I think we'd realize that. Imagine if you weren't allowed to read the Los Angeles Times, you know, because you're not a native of Los Angeles. What business do you have reading that newspaper? Same thing.
Yeah, precisely. It's a moment in history and at a time when you can control these things, when the way that these streams and signals are managed in many ways through content and other kinds of control and rights all over the place, it can get so impossible to do this stuff. And it's really when we should be sharing across these borders. It's so portable now. Mm-hmm. It can move so much more freely than media before, but we're doing exactly the opposite just because we have that control, and we really should be sharing and learning from one another more. So it's right. So counterintuitive. We just when we have the ability to go ahead and compartmentalize everyone.
It's all about greed. You know, we didn't give you the right to see this. We only gave people over there the right to see this. And you can't see a commercial for this car from this dealer over in this state because you're supposed to see the one that's local to you. It's absurd, ridiculous, and we all suffer as a result. And you gotta think like a hacker to get around it. You really do. And that's what we're constantly doing. So radio is easy. You can already do that. You can already listen to all different radio stations around the world. Television, that's the next step. And also programs from other countries that you might appreciate. And, you know, that's only an English-speaking country, the United Kingdom. Imagine all the TV programs from other countries where if we just got a caption or a dub, we'd really be into those as well. It sure works the other way around. All the programs we produce here in the United States somehow make it to the rest of the world. We can't even get Canadian programs in here. We can, because we have our Canadian dish. But, you know, programs like Son of a Critch from Newfoundland. Hilarious show. Really funny. Working Moms, that's a Canadian show. It's on Netflix now. So, okay, if you make it to Netflix, I guess you've won the battle then. But there are so many others. Mr. D, that's another good show. And 22 Minutes. And, yeah, I could go on forever. And plus the news, you know, and documentaries and First Nations programs and all sorts of things like that. I could go on for hours about this. But listen, talking about websites, I found a website. In fact, I found this website by using one of the apps that we have on our Roku, looking at some program somewhere. And sometimes they put ads. In fact, often they put ads in front of the content. But this time they put an ad about pro-choice movements. Yeah, it was really relevant. And I actually, I didn't skip this one. A website called bansoff.org. Kind of hard to remember. But bans, B-A-N-S, and off, O-F-F, .org. As in, bans off our bodies, rightfully ours. That's the full phrase. If you click on that, you wind up getting forwarded to PlannedParenthoodAction.org. Maybe that's easier to remember. And at PlannedParenthoodAction.org, you can find out where the rally nearest you this weekend will be. Yeah, on the 14th of May, there will be rallies all around the country. And you know what? I haven't had time to see what the one around here is going to be. So while Kyle speaks, I'm going to be trying to find rallies that are nearby for our listeners.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to be able to use this kind of advertising, because the platforms themselves, as I was alluding to, are able to kind of connect and plug in, and they're sort of almost like television on demand. So the ads are inserted. You may be watching a streaming website, but it's really no different. I mean, it could fool you. There are even local commercials and so forth. So to be able to slip important messages, just like during campaign seasons and so forth, it's great, because you're getting people talking and informing people about what's going on locally and how they can connect and be engaged and see what others are saying and how that protest is forming.
Okay, I found one that's happening in Riverhead on May 14th from noon to 2 p.m. outside the Suffolk County Supreme Court. I had to serve jury duty once there. I almost served. I wasn't selected, but I know where that is. One Court Street in Riverhead, Suffolk County Supreme Court. Not the same Supreme Court, so don't blame them. But Saturday, May 14th, 12 to 2 p.m. That's the only one I see so far. That's got to change. I know Port Jefferson is likely to have something. Huntington, certainly. But the website is, actually, this website is now mobilize.us, but I think that's for lots of different things. So go to Planned Parenthood, the Planned Parenthood website, or just go to PlannedParenthoodAction.org, and that'll show you all sorts of things wherever you happen to be in the country, because everybody in the country is getting involved in this. This is a huge deal. What the Supreme Court is attempting to do is basically take away rights, and it's never happened before. Can you name a single time where rights were taken away by a Supreme Court ruling? I guess some white supremacist somewhere is going to say, hey, Emanuel, yeah, when they took away the right to own slaves. Probably, yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about rights that we have fought for that are, I don't want to say enjoyed, because it's really the wrong verb for it, but rights that everybody in the civilized world assumes they simply have, and that is the right to choose, you know, what you do with your body. Now, we as males, we don't really have to think about that ever. So it's kind of offensive when you realize that it's a majority of males that are making this decision for other people. But imagine, Kyle, if next time you go to the dentist, and let's say you want to have a tooth pulled, I know this is a horrible analogy, but if some government official steps in and says, no, you can't do that, you have to keep that tooth. It's the best I can do, okay? Because we have nothing to compare it to. You would be upset by that. You would absolutely be upset. You'd say, what business is it of the government to say, I can't get this damn tooth extracted? It hurts. It's going to be a pain for a long, long time. It's what we assume we have the right to do. Make a decision about something that's going on inside us. To take that away from anybody, it's a horrible thing. And that's why people are angry.
Yeah, I guess going along with that analogy, this would be in the face of others who have the ability to have said extraction, but nothing compares. The feeling I got is really profound empathy for women, peers, people that I really think highly and so strongly of, and was raised and have family members. It's heartbreaking to look at peers and think in one moment they had this ability, and then the next now they can't do X, Y, and Z. You know, they don't have control, they have less rights, less ability to control their destiny and manage and plan their family. So it just has to be something that people are expressing their support and just not having others zealous and invasive attitudes projected and affect them in this way.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be a Senate vote this week on abortion rights. Not going to change anything, but it'll reveal a lot. On Wednesday, the U.S. Senate will be voting on a bill to codify abortion rights into federal law. They need 60 votes to overcome the filibuster, and they're not going to have enough to get through that. But by voting on the bill without enough senators on board to make it law, Americans will know where their lawmakers stand on reproductive rights. That's according to our Senator Chuck Schumer. And unfortunately, it seems like Democrats are always doing this, basically just showing how they're losing. But this is an important one. This is where you can hold people accountable for taking a position. They have to take a position this time. They can't simply say, well, it just happened and I had nothing to do with it. You have to make a decision one way or another. So keep an eye on what your senator is doing. And hey, you know, guess what? I'm going to say it again, if a million people called their senators demanding that they vote in favor of this bill, well, then the bill would pass, and then it would be codified. Imagine that. It's not likely to happen, but you have to at least try.
Yeah, this is an attack on secular society, I think. This is a real wake-up call, and I think everyone understands that and is in action.
Did you read the, I didn't read all of it, but I read sections of the draft that we're not supposed to see, but hey, we're seeing it because somebody had the courage to leak it. And you know what? It destroys the credibility of the court. The court already did that by attacking the Constitution. And that is what they are doing. They're taking a decision that was made in 1973 and saying, nope, this decision is a bad decision. From the same body, from the Supreme Court, basically saying that we know better than people who served on the Supreme Court a mere 50 years ago. And then going back to, what is it, the 1700s, to values that were espoused then, and quoting various people who did all sorts of things, like burn witches and own slaves. And yeah, these people knew what was up. They knew what was going on. This is why when people are confronted with this, they are compelled to react. They are compelled to demonstrate. They are compelled to raise their voices. Don't let yourself be talked out of that or shamed into just remaining quiet. That's what they want. And that's what they want for all sorts of other things that will be happening in the future when it comes to gay rights, trans rights, minority rights, immigrant rights, and all sorts of other things that they'll be coming for. This Supreme Court is politicized. It's already happened. And it's sad, it's pathetic, but other members of the Supreme Court realize this. They realize this already. Read the opposition on this and all sorts of other things that have been handed down in recent years. That bus has already left the station. So now the question is, are we going to stand for that? Are we going to allow this unelected body to destroy the Constitution, destroy our rights? I don't think we should. I think we should stand up, make our voices loud. Yeah, they'll tell you it's illegal to demonstrate outside a Supreme Court justice's house. Well, you know what? And that law is wrong too. Okay, you're on a public street. You can do whatever you want, as long as it's not hurting anybody, obviously. If you want to express yourself. Yeah, that's what we have been told for ages, that we have the right to do. That's what everyone has fought and died for, the right to express ourselves. But we can't express ourselves to particular people. Where does that end exactly? Where does that end? Is this illegal, what we're talking about right now? What if a Supreme Court justice tuned the radio and heard this? We might be influencing them. Oh my God, it's insane. Please, please don't be intimidated by these people who do not have your interest at heart. We have to fight this and continue fighting it. It's not going to be a quick victory, but this is one thing Republicans know how to do, is play the long game, is to keep at something until they get what they want. And unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to do now for quite a while. Or give up. If we give up, then it'll be a quick trip to fascism, that's for sure. All right, other news. Well, it's actually the same news, really. You know, Wordle, the New York Times dropped the word fetus as a Wordle solution to keep the game distinct from the news. Well, good luck with that, New York Times. See, this wouldn't have happened before the New York Times took it over. Apparently, you can see future solutions if you just look at the source code. And somebody noticed that the word fetus was changed. So, yeah, you can't do that on Wordle right now. And that's a sad day.
Should I say... I'll just let people think it.
Okay.
And what they did to that solution.
They aborted it. Wow. I like that. That's funny. Yeah, abortion jokes. Okay. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis in Florida, out of his mind. Oh my God, this guy is crazy. And you know it's going to be Trump DeSantis. That's going to be the ticket. I just know that's what they're thinking right now. And that's going to be a scary ticket because Trump's crazy. DeSantis is crazy, but he's a younger crazy, and I kind of get the feeling he knows what he's doing a little bit more. And this is what I was always afraid of with creeping fascism, is that you get somebody who knows how to play the game. And that isn't just somebody who speaks off the cuff and gets his way. This is somebody that, just look at what he's been doing in Florida, but the most recent thing, he has decreed that November 7th is Victims of Communism Day. And that means that students must learn about why communism is evil on that day. It's hilarious, but it's also crazy. And it's exactly the kind of thing you would expect in such a regime of dictatorship and fear, that you must learn about this particular thing, and it comes straight from the governor. I mean, communism is an economic system.
Yeah, isn't it command economy? Like the downsides of a command economy. Pretty dry.
I'm not going to get into it, but most of it's boring, and I happen to think it doesn't work. I happen to think it's stupid. But to simply focus on one type of economic system, one type of government, and ignore all the problems of all the other systems of government, including capitalism. Imagine if there were a day, Victims of Capitalism Day.
I don't think you could do that in a day. No, there's no way.
You're right. You're right. But in honesty, you couldn't do Victims of Communism in a day either. There's a lot of Victims of Communism. I get that. You know, Stalin, but you know, it's mostly you know, totalitarianism. How about that? Victims of totalitarianism, because then you wouldn't be confined to just that one type of totalitarianism. How about that?
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
In fact,
that's good.
I had the idea, and this is my idea, that we should have the equivalent of a Veterans Day, except for civilian victims of war and military action. We don't have a day like that. We have Memorial Day. We have Veterans Day. We don't have something for individual people that are, and there are so many of them. We're seeing it every day in Ukraine. That would be something I could get behind. But to simply say, yeah, I don't like Cuba, so therefore we're going to have a day where our students have to learn the evils of communism. What's that? The right-wing fascism? No, that's not a problem. We're not going to even talk about that. That doesn't exist. Move along. This is wrong. This is wrong in so many ways. But typical.
But it serves a purpose.
Let's stay in Florida for a second, and I don't say that often, but I'm going to say it just for the purposes of this story. Yearbooks at a Central Florida high school will not be distributed until images of students holding rainbow flags and a Love is Love sign while protesting the state's so-called Don't Say Gay law can be covered up. I'll say that again. Yearbooks will not be distributed until images of students holding rainbow flags can be covered up. I don't need to say anything more, do I? That should be evidence enough of how foul and wrong a direction that state is heading in, where a rainbow flag is something that you have to cover up. My God, what are we turning into?
All I can say is I regret having joked about that.
I don't remember you joking about
that. Yeah, I made some off-the-cuff remarks, basically joking that flags like that would be, you know, not allowed.
The bill signed into law by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis bans classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity in kindergarten through third grade. But look, it's somehow affecting yearbooks. Yeah. Rather than reprinting the yearbook at substantial cost and delay, this is the principal statement, we have elected to cover that material that is out of compliance with board policy so that yearbooks can be distributed as soon as possible. Now, I'm confused here.
These are like their photos.
I'm confused here. Do kindergartners through third graders have yearbooks? It says yearbooks at a Central Florida high school. It's been a while since I've been to high school, but I don't remember third graders in high school. Did you have third graders in your high school?
No.
All right. So why is this part of that law, which they assured us only applied to kindergarten through third grade? So now you're telling me that high school students holding a rainbow flag in a yearbook is a violation of that law. Wow. Wow. It's almost like everything we were warned about turned out to be true.
Zealotry.
In an email. Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking yearbooks are supposed to be a little edgy.
You think? Yeah. I mean, it's usually put out by the students.
Not that that's edgy.
In an email today, Seminole County Public Schools spokesman Michael Lawrence said the issue wasn't with the protest, but how its depiction in the yearbook could be interpreted as being endorsed by the school, which would be in violation of the policy. Oh my God. I just can't read anymore.
Is that because the school is somehow a government or somehow publicly funded or something, so that it's by definition, people who don't have a say have to fund something they don't agree with or something?
This is
balderdash.
When you hear the phrase slippery slope, this is an indication of what that is about. Because you take a step, and then it invariably leads to something else, and more erosion of rights, and more fear, and more doing things that you would never ordinarily do just to be safe, just in case. It's a sickness. And, you know, I hate to keep saying that we have to fight back, but boy, we're being attacked a lot. So, yeah, we have to fight back. And let's stop worrying about whether we're fighting back in the most polite way possible. When I fight back, I'll say words that you might not be comfortable hearing, but that need to be said. And I think all of us need to do the same thing. It's not always about being as nice as you can be. It's about basically expressing yourself and making sure that you are not stepped on. You don't continue to be stepped on. I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I'm not even in Florida, you know, but it's coming. It's coming to the whole country. You know, in Louisiana right now, they're signing a law that will basically, if you abort a fetus, you'll be thrown in prison as a murderer. Yeah, and they're talking about basically defining life beginning at conception, at fertilization. So basically, birth control of any sort will start to be illegal. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And the majority of people don't support this by far, more than 2-1. But because of our system, because of the way it's laid out, well, that's how it is. Supreme Court gets to decide. And the legislatures, they get to put people in power that you didn't vote for because of gerrymandering. And they just have it's all figured out. It's all figured out. They've got elections that will not go the way the popular voters want them to go. They have laws that will be passed despite popular opinion against them. It's something that it's a real threat. We saw it coming. Now it's here. So obviously turning out to vote in massive numbers and getting rid of these people is a high priority, not bickering amongst ourselves, not second guessing. This is an emergency. We have to act or we lose and we don't have a chance after that loss.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And the energy companies have everybody in a headlock all summer long with prices, and that hits everything else, and there's just a lot of upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hot.
Talk about prices. Okay, yeah. We paid almost $7 a gallon for diesel fuel.
Did you see that?
And I'm told that Shell, BP, they have profits triple what they were. And somehow we're supposed to be blaming Biden for this, even though he has been on the front line attacking those very companies for taking advantage of the situation with Russia. Their profits have tripled. Their price remains super high. It seems pretty clear to me where the fault lies. How does anybody reach the conclusion that it's because of Biden when this is something that's happening all throughout the world? So you just got to think these things through and not let yourself be led down a road that you would never have gone down if you had thought it through.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about the fuel prices that they're charging the government as well. So, that factors in.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, including our own bureaucracy and agencies and people that are out there, whatever, fighting fires, they're all going to be hit by this.
I'm not complaining about the cost of fuel. I mean, I am, but I would gladly pay $10 a gallon if it helped the people of Ukraine. Absolutely. But that's not what's happening here. We're paying a huge amount of money to line the pockets of oil executives, and that is wrong. And they are the ones. They are the ones responsible for this. You cannot blame Trudeau. You cannot blame Biden. You cannot blame anybody. You can't even blame Boris Johnson. You can't. That's not their doing. You can blame them for other things, but not that.
I blame Citizens United.
But one thing that is for sure, you can blame them, sure. There's a lot of stupid people out there. You know what George Carlin said? You ever hear this routine where think of how dumb the average person is and then realize that half the people are dumber than that. I know it's not how averages work, but the point is there are a lot of dumb people out there. And right now, looking at you, Philippines, you had a dictator. You had Ferdinand Marcos, horrible person, lots and lots of deaths. And, you just had Duterte, who was a murderer, and killing lots and lots of people, a lot of them innocent of anything. And now, overwhelmingly, you elect the son of the late dictator of Ferdinand Marcos. You elect his son to become your leader. Really? That's the best you can do? Why? Why would you do that? And it's the daughter of Duterte, I think, was his running mate. What do you say to this? there's only so much. I mean, all the evidence is there. He was clearly a dictator. Clearly, all sorts of horrible things happened under his reign. And just now, recently, you had a pretty vile person in office that did all sorts of horrible things. And you have a massive turnout, and you put these people back in power. And we've seen it in Brazil, we've seen it in India, and we might very well see it here. So don't always think that people will do the right thing. I can't understand how you could be so misled as to do this. But fact is, people are. And here's an example of an election you can't really dispute. It's just, it sucks. It's terrible. And it's not the only time.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm sad to see Duterte go. I don't know. This is something to watch because that crackdown, I mean, will that be something that is a continuation under this regime?
There'll be new things.
There were not fantastic alternatives. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really... really been hard to cover. I mean, there are other places also. I think journalists have suffered a lot just trying to get the story together on what is happening on the street, you know, to the widest number of people, you know, what affects the everyday people there.
Did you watch the victory parade in Moscow the other day?
I was supposed to watch it, but I had a scheduling conflict. I was taking a nap.
I taped it for you and was playing it the other day.
Oh, yeah. I played it on delay. Right. Yeah.
So you saw it.
I saw the recording and, I had some special projects I was working on and it was in the background.
Well, okay. That's probably just as good. The thing that I got out of it was that, Putin could have declared war on Ukraine, which basically would have opened up all sorts of options for him as far as basically getting people to serve who don't want to serve, calling in soldiers from all over the country. He didn't do that. In fact, he was very vague as to what his future plans are with Ukraine. I see that as potential hope, and not hope from him, but hope for the situation. It could have been worse. That's really all I can say about that. The whole thing is still horrible. But I thought the ceremony itself was, I always think these ceremonies are interesting to watch. It seemed a little scary. I was heartened to hear that, in Warsaw, they threw red paint on the Russian ambassador who was basically, He was visiting a monument for Soviet soldiers who won World War II against the real Nazis. And that's, you know, that's something worthy of recognition. But he also represents a country that is involved currently in some horrible war crimes, killing many, many people, and basically throwing the whole world into turmoil. So, yeah, you know what? You deserve some red paint thrown on you. I was kind of struck, though, by the video of this. He's standing there with all this red paint over his face, these people are around him chanting, and he's not backing down. He's not running away. They're not approaching him. They're not attacking him. They're just continuing to chant. They're not backing down. I thought, in a way, that was something rather admirable on both sides because, you know, I think what would happen in this country, you'd have people being shot at for doing that. You'd have all kinds of heavy-handed responses. And in this particular case, yeah, the statement was made and he stood there, didn't cower, and people made their voices heard, but didn't go overboard by getting physical or anything like that other than the paint. So, you know, I thought that was a completely appropriate response. Yeah, sure. It wasn't legal. It wasn't nice. But sometimes you have to be illegal and sometimes you have to be nasty. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, here we use spray paint.
Do we? Okay.
No, we don't. We could, though, so uh-huh. Don't even step to this.
So, that led to all sorts of pondering as to what Putin's going to do next, and I guess we just have to keep watching. But, you know, I was watching the parade. It was kind of, you know, like a North Korean-type thing where massive amounts of of well-lined-up soldiers are there, and they're all chanting at the same time and things like that. You ever watch these parades where they're all, they do like the, what do they call this, where they all turn to the right as they're walking? You know what I'm talking about?
It is to, yes, gaze in, set their gaze upon the leadership as they review the...
Right. They're looking at their leader as they march. Okay, here's my stupid question. How are they able to keep walking forward when they're looking to the right? How do they not trip over themselves? All it takes is one person stopping short, and you're going to walk right into them, and the whole thing will fall apart then. How does that not happen?
I think there's a very distinct color line on one or the other end, and they're evenly spaced, so the people on the end are kind of following the line, and then everyone next to them basically stays evenly spaced and in unison. And because they're taking the same step in unison, it is synchronized and doesn't veer.
Theoretically, that sounds good, but
that's my thought.
All it takes is one person getting it wrong. It just seems like a disaster. If there are military people out there that get this, please let us know. OTW@2600.com. You know, and I see people driving tanks and trucks, and they're also looking to the right as they're driving. The first rule is to keep your eyes on the road, and they're looking to the right at their leader and still driving forward. Massive trucks, one behind the other. I don't know. It just seems like why do you need to do that? Why can't you just wave or something, or have your passenger look at them? Is it that important to be looking to the right like that? And it's always to the right.
Are you saying in the cab of... I don't want to get into this. I'm sure most of the ones that were open air, like their heads sticking out of something, they were probably not the actual driver.
No, I saw drivers doing it because they had steering wheels and
behind a windshield.
Look, I can't remember specifically what they were, but yeah, they were driving the vehicle and they were looking to the right. I've seen it before.
All right, too. It's astonishing, and I guess it's something they practice. I mean, getting things right and being on time is kind of
the point of
military.
I want to go to South Pilot, Stony Brook, and practice this. Just driving and looking to the right and waving and not crashing into anything. I want to get good at that.
It's the excellence they are striving for.
All right, you have me convinced right there that you know what you're doing if you can do that. But it's weird how every military seems to do the same thing, and every military has similar command structures, and they all seem to agree on that. They just can't agree on anything else.
Wait, agree on it?
They agree on the command structure, like I'm a captain, you're a lieutenant, and the stripes on the. I mean, I'm sure there's variations, but the same basic principle. It's replicated everywhere.
Well, a lot of it has evolved over very long periods of time.
Yeah, but can you think of a single country where a general is the equivalent of, somebody who's just starting off? No, a general is always somebody high up. They all agree on that. They all agree on the basic rules.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of peer review. They look at how one or the other has done it and how it has been done.
Running a North Korea type country, I would completely throw that on its ass. I would just change things around and change the colors, have the stripes be upside down. Maybe there won't be stripes at all. Maybe there'll be little smiley faces or something. I'd have a very silly army.
If?
Yeah, if. Okay, let's close off with one more frightening thing, and that's that Elon Musk has vowed to unban Trump from Twitter. He said this today, actually. He said that Twitter shutdown of Trump's account was a morally bad decision. I think permabans fundamentally undermine trust in Twitter as a town square where everybody can voice their opinion. If there are tweets that are wrong and bad, those should either be deleted or made invisible. Yeah, Elon, but who decides that then? It's so ridiculously naive, the things that he is saying, because he doesn't seem to understand that somebody like Trump with, a billion followers, if he says something that's a lie, it's a lot different than you or me, and I don't mean Elon when I say that, you or me, Kyle, where nobody cares what we have to say. If we say something that's a lie, yeah, okay, it's there, but no one's going to take it seriously. But when you have people and institutions that have massive amounts of followers that will do whatever you say, you lying is a big deal. And you can't just say, oh, freedom of speech, same thing. No, no, it's not the same thing. It's an abuse of power. And you, as an independent organization, something that is non-governmental, you have the right to decide where your line is. And that's something that I think he doesn't get. Oh, well. That's where we stand right now. Craziness, huh?
Valley Girl buys app.
Yeah. Hey, your vision coming up this weekend. I intend to listen to all the songs and decide before the vote. I really like Eurovision songs because for some reason they stick in your head and they're very catchy. I guess that's the whole point. Just like, and I discovered this through BBC Radio 2, I think, there's a new Pet Shop Boys song out with Soft Cell. and that's always good to know that there's a new Pet Shop Boys song out. So we're going to go out with that tonight.
And out we go.
All right. OTW at 2600.com.
Thanks, everyone, for listening and joining us.
Bye.
My time goes so slow, and I don't know how the show will end. I'm losing all my feeling, emotion I pretend. So let's get out of this life. I'm afraid and alone, paralyzed in the purple zone. Let's get out of this life. I'm afraid and alone, paralyzed in the purple zone. Paralyzed in the purple zone. All the fleeting moments of beauty, you blinked and then they were gone. Now he's sitting there wondering just where it all went wrong. No glory, no glamour, too many confusions, coloring all my delusions. Paralyzed in the purple zone. One day you'll awake from your sleep of the dead. Pick out the strangers asleep in your bed, and she'll cry out, let's get out.